الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person who sends 100 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes in between his eyes that this person is set free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him amongst the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatum wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, once again we are blessed with the opportunity to participate in this beautiful silsila, Blessings of Quran of Madani channel. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in today's silsila we will discuss the ayat number 21 and ayat number 22 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, in these two verses, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ صدق الله العظيم. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O mankind, worship your Lord who has created you and those before you, so that you may become Allah fearing. It is He who made for you the earth a bed, mean spread out, and made the sky a canopy, and sent down from the sky water, and brought forth thereby fruits as provision for you. Therefore, do not equate anyone with Allah while you know that there is none similar to Him. This was the translation of these two verses. Now let's try to understand these verses word by word as normally we do. The ayat begins with the word Ya. In Arabic, the word Ya is called Harfe Nida. Nida means calling. So this word is used to call someone. But calling is for different reasons. There are many different purposes for which the word Ya is used in Arabic language. Sometimes Ya is used to draw the attention of a careless or a heedless person. Like here it is said, Ya Yuhannas. Sometimes the ya is used to make the absent person present. Somebody is not there and you call him, and you, for example, you say, Ya Abdullah. Maybe he's not in front of you, but you call him so he can present himself. And sometimes ya is used to show the anger. As someone would say, Ya Khabees or Ya Iblis. This time the ya is used not to call the person, but rather to show the anger. And sometimes ya is used to show the respect, karamat of a person. For example, Ya Ayyuhan Nabiyyu, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Ayyuhan Nabiyyu, this is to show the respect and the greatness and the dignity of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometime the ya is used to show the love. For example, Allah says in Quran Kareem, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. And sometime ya is used to show the ijz, means the weakness. As we say, Ya Allah. So these are different uses of words ya, and they are used in Quran Kareem in these meanings. So the possibility here is that the word ya is used here to draw our attention and to remove our carelessness and the heedlessness. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us as Ya Ayyuhan Nasu, it is used for that meaning. That become careful and become aware of the situation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He calls him to show the love and to show the respect. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is never ghafil, he is never careless about Almighty Allah azza wa jal. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls heavens, skies and earths, He calls them so they should follow and obey the orders and the commandments of Almighty Allah azza wa jal. And when we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Ya Allah, we are actually showing that we are weak. Oh Allah, we need your help. So we don't call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what is happening. No, He knows our every state, every move. But our reason to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to seek help and get help from Him. And the word Ya Ayyuhan Nas here, the Ya refers to us because we are careless people, we are heedless people. The meaning of Nas, the literal meaning of Nas, the one who forgets. So the meaning of the ayat is that, O those who forget, come to us. And then we see the word ayyuha, ayyuha is used. When ya comes on a word which has alif lam, that's called mu'arraf bil lam. It's ma'rifa. Ma'rifa means it is a proper noun. When word ya comes on mu'arraf bil lam, on a noun which has alif lam on it, then ayyuha comes in between to separate ya and that particular noun. So that's where you will see Ya Ayyuhan Nas, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, Ya Ayyuhar Rasul. But it does have a smell of warning in it. Therefore one cannot say Ya Ayyuhallah or Ya Ayyuhar Rahman. Because there's nobody who can give warning to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Although it does not have that clear meaning of warning, but because it has a smell of that. For that reason, it is prohibited to use word ayyuha when you addressing Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And ulama ikram mufassirin have also said that mostly when the word annas is used, then the people of Makkah are meant. And when ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, then the people of Medina are meant. But here the word annas refers to all humans, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, whether they are hypocrites, pious, sinners, everybody is addressed in the word annas here. The reality is that every person who is coming in this dunya till the day of Qiyamah, they all are addressed in this ayah kareema. And after addressing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to human being, "U'budu," you should worship. Now, everybody, kafir, Muslim, munafiq, fasiq, muttaqi, everybody is ordered here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you talk about worshipping and you're addressing a Muslim, it's understandable. But when everybody is addressed together, then what would be the meaning of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the word u'budu will have a very wide meaning, very vast meaning. It means that, O disbelievers, you should worship by entering into the fold of Islam. That's your worship. O hypocrites, you should worship by becoming sincere and one-sided. Leave the double standard and be one-sided. That's the ibadat of a munafiq. And a sinner is addressed to worship. It means that you become punctual with your salat and other obligatory and necessary activities. O those who are stingy and misers, you should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving charity, by giving your zakat. And those who don't fast, they are ordered to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fasting. So this would be the meaning of Ya Yuhanna Su'budu, O all people, you should worship Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Now the word Rabba, Rabb, is used. It's not said Ya Yuhanna Su'budullaha, O Su'budur Rahman, because Allah is His personal name, Rahman is His quality, and there are many other names and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why particularly the word Rabb is used in this ayah kareema? Ulama ikram have said the word Rabb is used so the people become enthusiastic after hearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, He is our Rabb. So this is order with the reason that you should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He nourishes you, He provides you, He gives you to live, to eat, to sustain. He is your sustainer. So He deserves to be followed and respected more than any other person. Then we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah kareema, khalaqakum. The word khalaqa is used, and the word khalaqa is derived from khalqun, and khalq means to bringing something into existence from non-existence. So that being who can bring someone from non-existence to existence is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we put things together and we create or manufacture something, that is called kasb. And this is the work of human being. We do kasb, we put things together and we make something. We have wood, we cut into pieces and then we use glue, nails, etc. and other tools and we make a table out of it, or we make a chair or a bed out of it. That's called kasb. And Khaliq is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can be kasib, we cannot be Khaliq of anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds human being that Allah is your Khaliq, He has created you. So the one who has created you, he deserves to be worshipped, not someone else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. He has not just created you, but He has also created your forefathers. The people who were before you, they were also created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a double favor. One is that He has created you, and the other favor is that He has created your fathers, your forefathers. So you should be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not somebody else. So now all these are reasons and arguments that are being given by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So the people must be sensible when they make a decision who they should worship and who they should not worship. And then we see in this ayah kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So the word تَتَّقُونَ is derived from taqwa. And taqwa could have three meanings here. One is to protect yourself from the azab of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And the other meaning is to become pious. And the third meaning is to find the light of piety in your heart. That is also taqwa. So now, keeping all these three meanings in mind, we can translate the verse in this way, that, O people, you should worship your Lord, and because of that, you might be protected from the adab of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or you should worship your Lord, and because of that, you might become pious. And you should worship your Lord, and because of that, you might find the light of piety in your heart. And it is also important to notice that ibadat is the beginning of taqwa. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beginning of taqwa. And taqwa is the destination. Taqwa is the final result of ibadat, the worship which you do. So we need to stay on the path of ibadat in order to reach our destination, in order to attain taqwa, in order to become muttaqi. So therefore, those who don't worship, those who are lazy in ibadat, those who are careless in ibadat, those who don't give importance to ibadat, those who think that ibadat is something secondary, or they give no importance to namaz and zakat and hajj and fasting, they can never become muttaqi. Because muttaqi is the end result of ibadat and the worship of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we see in this ayah kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word firash for the earth. The meaning of firash is bed. So what is the meaning of earth to be bed here in this verse? It means that the earth was supposed to be in the ocean, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a part of earth out of the ocean. Even though the earth is round, but He made it such that when we are on this earth, we find it level, like a plane, and you can live on it, you can stay on it, you can sleep on it. So it's not round like a ball in the sense that you cannot find your foot to be established on the ground or you will move away. So, and on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the earth soft like mud, or He did not make the earth rock hard or like steel. No, He made it in a very moderate way. That way you can walk easily, you can dig when you need, you can, you know, plant trees, fruits, vegetables, and you can build your homes, etc., etc. So this is a great ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He has designed the earth for us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about wassama'a bina'um, that He has made the sky as canopy. Now you have your roofs of your house, your home, they only give you shade. And they save you from the rain or from the wind, etc. That's the purpose of those roofs which you have on top of you as the roofs of your house or your homes. But the roof which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, the canopy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, is very unique and very different. That from this roof, which is the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends your sustenance, your rizq from there. So this is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounty, the gift of Almighty Allah azza wa jal, which He discusses in this ayah kareema. And then after giving all the reasons that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this for you, He has done that for you, so He needs to be worshipped, not somebody else. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, that you should not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of the andada is actually plural of niddun. And the meaning of niddun is similar, equal, similar. So the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, or those who used to associate partners, or they do associate partners, they had different types of beliefs. So different groups had different beliefs. Some believe that there are several creators. And they used to say that bigger things are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the smaller things are created by other deities and by other gods which they believed. And some used to say that there is only one who has created the universe, but it is difficult for one person to handle the whole system of the universe. Therefore, He created some other gods and He gave them divinity, and they are also gods and they're independent, and they together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala run the affairs of this universe. Some used to say that Allah is one, but He has children or He has son. And some used to believe that Allah is one, but our idols and these gods that we believe in, they have the power that by force on the day of judgment, they will intercede on our behalf. And some used to believe that Allah is one, and we all are His bondsmen, we all are His slaves, we all are His creation. But some of His servants, some of His slaves are qadeem, mean they're eternal, they're from forever, and they are careless from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their decisions and in their affairs and activities. So in this small sentence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted all those belief systems, all the aqaid and the creeds of those idol worshippers and those mushriks, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, He is your Lord, He gives you the sustenance, He made the earth a bed for you, He made the sky like a canopy, like a roof for you, and He sends His sustenance, His rizq for you from the sky. So many ni'mats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you and granted you, and you still associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where's your brain? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the ayat, wa antum ta'lamun, that aqlan naqlan, intellectually and with every other proof, it has been proven to you that the Khaliq, the Creator, is one. Now if you associate partner with Him, you commit shirk, then you don't have any valid excuse. So therefore, you will be punished severely. So this was the word by word tafsir and the explanation of the ayat. Now let's get to the summary of the two ayat which we have discussed word by word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these ayat that, O people, you should worship your Lord, because He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. The one who is great, the one who has all the power, the Almighty. The other deities which you have assumed and you have made up, they don't have the power. They, all might, all power do not belong to them. So you should be worshipping the one who has created you and who has created your forefathers. And then when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should worship Him with that hope that you may become muttaqi. So you can be granted as a gift, in'am from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, in'am of taqwa, so you may become muttaqi. When you keep a mirror in front of the sun, or you put a coal in the burning fire, or a piece of steel in the burning fire, what would you see? You would see that the sun is shining in the mirror. You'll see the light of the sun. You'll see the rays of the sun in the mirror. You will see the heat, the effect, everything in the mirror. And when you put the coal into the burning fire, or a piece of steel into the burning fire, they will become like fire. They'll become red like fire. And they can even burn as the fire burns. So when you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds your hands and you are attained, the ni'mat of taqwa, and you are bestowed with this in'am, with this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then as you see the sun in the mirror, and as you see the effect of the fire in the coal or in the piece of steel, you will see the effect of the qudra and the power of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal manifested in the muttaqi, in the servant, in the slave of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And you will see that he will be doing extraordinary things, and supernatural things are observed from these people who are blessed with the taqwa. The identity of the true creator, the real creator, is this: that He has made the earth for you like a bed to rest, so you can find comfort and luxury on the earth. It is not soft like mud, it's not hard like rock or like stone, and it's not so round that you are unable to stay on it. So in other words, that He has made it so comfortable for you to live. And then on top of that, He put the sky on top. He made all the arrangements. It's like your da'wat, you like his guest. And every day, who would feed you for so long? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you every day. And then he sent the rain, and with that rain, you get all these beautiful flowers and fruits and vegetables. There are so many ni'mats that which grow from this earth. And who does that? Who creates that? Who sends that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine, if you work for a boss in this dunya, and he gives you a mean salary, small amount of money, you follow his instructions, you obey his orders, you run behind him, you stand with respect in front of him, you say, yes boss, you are ready to follow his orders all the time. So where is your brain? The one who created you, who gave you life, who gives you oxygen and air to breathe, who sends 3 meals a day for you, who made this earth so beautiful bed for you that you can rest and you can build your homes and you can live and survive on it and get all your sustenance with the relationship of sky and the earth. And when it comes to worship, when it comes to follow, then you leave your Lord, then you leave your Creator, and you go and run behind somebody else. So this is the message that we get in this ayah kareema. And then we learn a madani flower from this tafsir that we have discussed, that it is also necessary upon the kafirs, upon the disbelievers to worship. And if they do not worship, they will be punished. Now the question arises, what type of punishment they can perform? It's like a person who doesn't have a wuzu, we say that he must worship, but he must make wuzu. So similarly, we will tell the disbeliever that he must worship, but he must read shahada. He must endorse and testify the faith, and then he must worship. In fact, they are not performing salat, they are not partaking in Islamic ibadat, they'll be punished for that. It is mentioned in Quran Kareem that when the Muslims, the dwellers of paradise, will ask the inmates of Jahannam and the hellfire, that why have you come here? What is the reason? What have brought you here? So they will say, "Lam naku min al musallin, wa lam naku nut'imul miskin." That we never used to perform salat, and we never used to feed a poor person. We never used to give charity. We never used to give sadaqah. So this tells us that even though, according to the hukm of Sharia, if they're not believers, they don't have to perform, because being a believer is a basic condition for the performance of salat. But the sin will still be standing on them, because it was obligatory and compulsory for them to become Muslims and then perform the salat. So this we learn from this ayah kareema. And we also learn that if favor is done upon your forefathers, that favor is done upon you as well. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَالَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِكُمْ, the one who has created you and who has created those who were before you. So that also became a reason for ihsan, a reason for favor from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So if anyone has done something good to our family, anyone who has done something good to our fathers, our forefathers, we should respect them. And we should be thankful to them. And that's the reason that we should stay in touch with the friends of our fathers and with the friends of our mothers. And we should show the respect to them. As our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also did that. That when Hazrat Halima Saadiya radiallahu ta'ala anha would come to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will show great respect. So we are also ordered in our deen, in our religion, that we should keep in touch with the friends of our elders, our loved ones who have passed away. Sufiya Ikram, they have their own beautiful understanding of the ayat, and we will discuss that as well. According to Sufiya Ikram, ibadat is not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing because it's very hard on the nafs, and nafs would never cooperate with you on ibadat. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called all humans directly, O mankind. So the people can find the lazzat, the taste, the pleasure that our loved one is calling us, our Allah is calling us. So the difficult part in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be removed, and it can become easy for person to take that labor, to take that hardship and continue worshipping Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And how he addressed us so beautifully, that, oh, those who have forgotten us, you have come in this dunya, you have forgotten us, and you still have a time. You should worship your Lord, you should worship your Creator. And Allah is the one who has always looked after you. And you should show in your ibadat that you are fana fillah. You have destroyed yourself in the will of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Your submission has reached the highest level. Your submission has reached the excellence. And you have destroyed yourself in the being of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you reach at that level, you would never worship anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would know and you would understand that the object of worship, the one who is worthy of worship, is Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and nobody else. And then look at his grant, look at his generosity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give you this benefit that you may become muttaqi. So you start worshipping, he will give you the title and the certificate of being muttaqi. The dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have learnt many beautiful Madani flowers from these two ayat. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love for the knowledge of deen. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you find these opportunities in the atmosphere, in the environment of Dawat Islami, where we learn day and night so many beautiful things about our religion, about our deen. So wherever you are in the world, stay in touch with Dawat Islami, attend the weekly ijtimaz, listen to the Madani Mudhakiras of Amir Ahl Sunnat, listen to the bayanats of Muballigheen, travel in Madani Qafilas. Month of December, and there will be a lot of holidays, especially people in Africa, in Europe, in UK. This is festive season. People take break from their work, factories are closed, schools are closed, universities are closed, most of the companies are closed for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, some for month. And people go and waste their times on beaches, on holiday resorts and here and there. How nice if we can plan our holidays and travel in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Go for 12 days, go for more, go for less, as your circumstances allow you. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Start making your mind that inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will travel in this festive season in Madini Qafilas, inshallah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah.
O Muballigh, for you it's my prayer. May you keep ascending, success, stay.